Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to The Good Place, the podcast. I'm Mark Evan Jackson. I play Sean. Today we're doing something special. We've considered several things, one of which is this. It turns out celebrities are just like us. They watch TV too. So we're going to talk to some notable fans of this program, learn their favorite parts, and hear about what's good in their lives. And here again, we will be talking about all 3 seasons of The Good Place. All episodes that have aired are fair game for discussion. So if you're not caught up, go watch full episodes on the NBC app. Then listen to the back catalog of this show, The Good Place, the podcast. And if you're aware of a famous Good Place superfan, let us know. You can tweet it to me. I'm at Mark Evan Jackson. You may know today's guest from her refusal to leave screens big and small between 1999 and, like, tonight. Such productions as Freaks and Geeks, Dawson's Creek, Cougar Town, Vice Principals, and now the eponymous host of Busy Tonight on the E! Network, Mondays through Thursdays at 11 p.m., Busy Phillips. Welcome. Everything is fun?
Everything is fun.
How are you?
I'm good, MEJ.
Thanks for doing this.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and I know each other, IRL.
IRL. Uh-huh. We are friends.
It's true. We met doing the live stage show years ago in the style of old-time radio called The Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Yeah, I think people like it still.
They sure do.
Yeah, and
it's a podcast.
It's a podcast, too. You can listen to our voices.
Busy and I, moments ago, confessed to one another that neither of us really listen to podcasts.
I don't listen to any podcasts.
I don't really listen to podcasts.
No, I don't, because here's the thing. First of all, with my new talk show, I made it so that I have a very short commute. Uh-huh. Which is great. Done.
Please describe both your home address and the address of the studio.
Done on purpose. But I really enjoy music in the car.
Yeah.
So I know that there are people that like to be distracted by listening to stories and podcasts and entertaining people and laughing and all of those things. And those things sound delightful.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
But
it's not for me.
You need to turn your brain off from time to time.
Yes.
And
I like to chill out to music and that's it.
And is it particularly chill music that you're into?
No.
Or is it do you rage?
I rage. Sometimes I do rage. Yeah. Sometimes I rage. But mostly, I don't know. I listen to Sirius XMU.
Okay.
Yeah. So
is that educational? What is the U for? University?
University, I think, because it's like Sirius's college radio station,
right?
It's like modeled after a college radio station. So they play more indie music, I would suppose, would be the way to describe it.
Sure. Busy, you came to mind immediately when we were thinking about doing fan episodes of this because not long ago, we were at the release party for your book, a book you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
We were on a posh downtown LA rooftop, poolside, in a swanky affair, specifically meant to be a place for you to talk about your book, a book you had just written and released. And all you and your husband, Mark, wanted to do was talk to me about The Good Place.
We
talked for hours about The Good Place.
Mark, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I mean, it's interesting when I heard you say, you know, celebrities all watch television. The truth is, in the last several years, I have felt very overwhelmed by television and very overwhelmed by just the sheer amount of quote-unquote good TV.
The volume, sure.
The volume and just the things that I should be watching. And you know me. I'm a contrarian. If you tell me that I should be watching one thing, I'm like, go fuck yourself. I'm not interested.
Yeah. Oh, it feels like such bossiness to me.
It does. And it, like, kind of is in a weird way. But we haven't really been watching that much television in the last couple of years. And also we have two young children. So that prevents us from doing a lot of the things that normal people get to do when they don't have children.
Sure.
You know about that.
I don't. I'm aware of it. I'm bad at kids. Your kids are 18 and 13?
Yes, that's correct. No. 10 and 5.
Okay.
So what happened was I was so overwhelmed by all of the good television that was out there that I decided to just pull a comfort move. And all I really had been watching on television was reruns of Friends.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. This was for a while, like a solid year. And I don't remember why, but it happened this summer. But at some point this summer, I said to my husband, Mark, you know what? I think we need a show. I think we need to watch a show. And you know what I want to watch? I want to watch The Good Place. And he's like, really? I was like, yeah. Everybody says it's good. It's a 30-minute show for network television. Right. So, like, it's really 22 minutes,
it's
probably.
21 and a half minutes, yeah.
And I can do that. So I was like, all right, whatever you want. So we... You know, put the kids to bed. It's like 10 o'clock or whatever. This is also why, like, our kids take forever to go to sleep. Some kids are in bed at 7 and they have their whole night. And I'm sure they really enjoy Game of Thrones. I'm like, I do not have that.
You don't have that time.
I don't have the luxury of that time, Mark.
Yeah. I mean, I'm being blamed for this. I have little to do with your kids' bedtime.
My life choices.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, so we put in the first Good Place and like, I feel like we watched 6.
In
like
one that evening?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just loved it immediately. First of all, I'm such an Eleanor.
I was going to ask which character.
Well, you know I'm an Eleanor.
Well, I know that you're from Arizona.
Of course.
Yeah.
Obvi. Like, kind of trashy.
Sure. I think socioeconomically, maybe less of a trash bag, but you have a strong ego.
Healthy. Healthy.
It's served me well. I mean, so far so good.
Mm-hmm.
Someday you'll get back on TV.
We'll see.
Now let me ask you this. Speaking of that, the writers, do you feel like they've nailed Arizona, the culture, fairly decently?
I mean, I don't think anyone could ever possibly nail how truly horrible and weird it is to grow up and live in Arizona.
Sure.
And I really deeply apologize to anyone listening to this who lives there and loves it. But if you live there, I think if you really looked inside your soul, you would realize that you don't love it.
Could you not wait to get out?
Oh, yeah. No, that was like my whole goal.
Like college?
In life. Yeah.
You were like,
yeah.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As soon as I could.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, they do nail it. I mean, you know, Eleanor's mom,
mm-hmm.
Les, like that's kind of perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they just remained, like just kept her as the casting, like the whole time, you know, because there's the flashback,
right.
But then in the present, I like that.
Yeah. You've watched this television show.
I have.
Yeah.
But even as we're talking about it right now, I'm like, wait, do I remember anything about this show?
Oh, I'm sure. Of course. I mean, I host a podcast about this show, and I often, my brain, as soon as Grant says 3, 2, 1, it's like, wait, what was I supposed to?
Also, like, I have always loved Ted Danson.
Really?
Cheers was my parents' favorite television show growing up. So, like, we only watched what our parents watched.
Yeah.
And so he was, like, in my life from a very young age. And in my life in the way that, you know, Sam was, you know, a heartthrob. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was the guy. Like, that's who you wanted to be end up with was Ted Danson.
Yeah, he was the ideal, I suppose.
He was.
I mean, he was flawed in the sense that he was kind of a ladies' man and, you know, I would guess had commitment. Oh, you're not, you're shaking
I liked
your
head. It. I was into it. But so, yeah, so like I feel like I have a real attachment to Ted Danson from my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And then I just loved everybody else.
Yeah. Now, I think obviously Kristen Bell was well known and mm-hmm. is phenomenal, but I was not super familiar with Darcy Carden or Manny Jacinto or Jamila Jamil or William Jackson Harper.
Right. I don't think Jamila is this her first like TV show in the States, right?
Yes, she was a BBC presenter,
right.
So she was a
I
host.
Knew that. Yeah. And William Jackson Harper was like what, like huffing it in Brooklyn doing theater or something?
I don't know about Brooklyn, but and I feel like you're putting some judgment out there. I think he was working on stage.
There is no judgment in a person who chooses a life in the arts.
Hoofing it in Brooklyn.
People
He was
love,
what, pumping gas behind
people,
corners?
People love theater.
It's true. Some people.
But you know what I love?
Hmm.
Television
money.
Money.
Yeah. Obviously. Obviously. So, Busy, you came to this. Did you know you had heard, like, The Good Place is good, you should watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Was any of it spoiled for you? Did you know, like, the big surprise coming ahead in episode 113, the holy motherfucking shirt balls?
No.
So was it were you together, you and Mark are presumably in bed?
Yes. That's where we watch television. That's the only place we watch TV.
And was it a big surprise?
Yes. What the bigger surprise for me with The Good Place is the show is, like, masterfully crafted all the way through, but how frequently it is so incredibly touching and really emotional and, like, really gets you, even though seconds earlier it's insanity and total slapstick and crazy.
Yeah.
I also just felt like in this time is really weird in the world, right?
Wait.
Wait. It's true. Mark, it's true.
How do you mean?
Mm-mm. Mark.
I haven't noticed.
I can't walk you through it. I can't walk you through it right now. But it is. It's just like such a
forking
weird time in the world. And there's so much weird stuff flying around. And I don't think that it's, you know, any coincidence that this is kind of the thing that Mike Schur wanted to put into the world a little bit. Like, I think we're all kind of having sort of an existential crisis in many ways. And the idea and grappling with the idea of, you know, like, what it means to be a good person and a good friend and a good partner and a good human. And then you're the devil, which I always knew.
See, people keep saying that to me.
I always knew it.
Well, because of my typecasting.
Yes.
You were like, that would be a giant mistake to cast him as the almighty judge of all matters, past, present, and future. Do your girls watch it?
I feel like we've watched like a couple episodes with her.
Okay.
Yeah, she did. She did in this last season that aired. Because this was for me now. Then I blazed through it, and then this became, you know, must-see TV for me.
Yeah. You watched six in a night and you were like, I need them to make more of these.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was so, and can I tell you?
Please.
For the first time in my entire career, and then additionally in my entire life.
What's that?
This is the first time I've ever felt so strongly about how much I love a show that I would like do a thing to get it saved. Like if it were to ever be, you know, I've been on those shows where it's like, save this show. And I've always been like, yeah, okay. And we should definitely save that show.
Sure.
But like, you know, but I've never felt the thing where I really feel like I would be devastated if I didn't get more time with these characters.
There's more story to tell, right?
Yeah. I just feel like I really, it would leave me feeling deeply, deeply sad if it didn't get a chance to give me more.
I work on this television show, and I often remark at how much I care about these characters. Like, this, you mentioned that it's often a touching show, and I think one of the things that Mike and the writers do so well, and then the cast, you know, pulling it off, obviously, is it's not saccharine. It doesn't come off as sweet.
Right.
I feel like a lot of shows are slapstick for 18 minutes, and then piano music plays, and one of the parents' voiceover goes, you know, I guess at the end of the day,
right.
Kids are crazy, but you can't help but love, you know, and it just is so tacked on.
Right.
And this show doesn't. And as you say, like, it'll be mayhem.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody will do something sweet or realize that they've hurt someone. And
it kind of like hits you in the face.
Yeah.
It comes out of nowhere. And it's especially like the Eleanor Chidi stuff was really hard for me. Like when they didn't remember when she knew and he didn't.
Right.
That was like really a tough storyline for me.
It's hard, right?
I don't want to do that. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Can we change it?
I feel like it's aired.
It's done.
Okay. Oh, sure.
It's out there.
Fork.
Yeah.
No, I don't like it.
I know.
I got really upset.
Oh, I have to tell you.
I cried hysterically.
Did you?
Yeah, I really did.
Oh.
I really cried hysterically.
It's moving, right? You've learned to care about these people.
You really do?
Yeah.
I really do, Mark. I really do.
I don't know much about season four. I've gotten a little bit of...
Here's what I know. I know that I've, like, pressured a bunch of people that if Eleanor has any sort of dirtbag Arizona friend that comes into the picture, that it would be... I would make room in my... Even though I'm, like, basically retired from acting now as a television...
Wait.
Late night host.
Is that true?
Kind of. Like, I'm not... I won't audition for anything. I have no interest.
It's been years since you've auditioned.
Okay, to be fair... Kind of.
Yeah.
But everyone has to audition for the good
shirt.
Yeah.
You can't, there's nothing, you know what I mean?
Well, I suppose, especially this day and age when, like, legit movie stars are
doing HBO shows.
Doing HBO
yeah.
shows.
Yeah. When my best friend, Michelle Williams, who's been nominated for 5 Academy Awards, I believe, although it could be 6. I don't really keep track, is doing a show on FX.
Yeah.
With a one-time Oscar winner, Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, I'm never working again.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, yeah. That's what it feels like. And I feel like I made the perfect exit. Perfect transition, pivot moment in my career.
Well, I had not heard you say that you wouldn't go back.
I don't know. No, I mean, I would do anything on The Good Place ever. Anything. Anything.
Oh, you realize this is not an audition.
This isn't.
I don't
this
have
one isn't.
Shirt.
I don't.
That's what they told me. This is why I was doing it.
Well, that's how we got you here.
Okay. Well, no, I would. There are things that I like definitely would do if I were offered it. And I also like read script. I get sent things to that people want me to do and I read stuff, but it would just have to be, you know, conditions must be perfect
sure.
for me to act. But then in addition to that, right now, the late night talk show takes up so much of my time. I mean, all of my time, all yeah. of my 100% of my time. And then beyond that, I have the kids that we talked about. And then I have like, you know, and then I've got like waiting for The Good Place to come back in September.
I mean,
so
that's your only joy. I'll say it.
Really,
I'll say it for you.
Wait, by the way, truly though, it really does bring me joy. I think this is what I told you at the book party. Like the show brings me a pure joy that I haven't experienced in entertainment in such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really interesting because I think people like, you know, get their
forking
panties all in a bunch about, you know, all of this prestige television. And it's like, that's fine. Most of it makes me feel like
shirt
when I watch it.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I wanted to do when I watched Sharp Objects?
Huh.
Cut myself. It was like horrible. Like it was so dark and depressing and sad. Everyone's like objectively amazing and like it's cool and it's shot well. But like,
right.
Why do I want to watch such horrible things in the world?
Yeah.
I find The Good Place to be like incredibly deep and thought-provoking
sure.
and a really well-crafted show, but it doesn't make me feel bad and it doesn't put things into my brain that I'm never getting out. So even though I get emotional and cried hysterically when Chidi got wiped and sent back.
Wiped. Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Do you want to know?
No.
Tune in Thursday starting in September.
I wouldn't want it spoiled anyway. I really wouldn't.
Oh, I know. No, I mean, these guys, Trey and Grant, can attest. I will only watch up to, like, where we are in the podcast, even though they send us links sometimes for, you know, several weeks down the line. Because as much as I'm able, I like to watch it at the last possible second, as much as, a civilian fan would do. It's pretty
You're
great.
You're so lucky to be on the show, Mark.
Are you kidding me?
You have, like, kind of an amazing career because you're just on these amazing shows and kill it. And
that part's very kind and subjective. Thank you. But
everyone said, no, that's not subjective. I think that's universally what everyone believes about you.
That's very kind of you. I can't believe that I get to be on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Good Place and so many of these shows that I legitimately enjoy and like. Busy, you've referred in the past to the teachings of Oprah. I know that you have life philosophies by which you live, but do you consider yourself a philosopher?
No, I don't know.
This might help. I am sitting across from Dr. Todd May, professor of philosophy at Clemson University, and one of the philosophy consultants to the writers of The Good Place. You are a philosophy professor. Are you a philosopher, and are there philosophy professors who aren't philosophers?
Oh, Mark, that's a great question. In ancient philosophy, a person was considered a philosopher not because of a doctrine that they developed, but because of the way they lived. Mm. So people took up different philosophies. They became Epicureans, they became Stoics, they became Aristotelians, and they were philosophers because they took away of framing how a life should go and tried to live it. That's what a philosopher was.
A practitioner.
A practitioner of a doctrine that they thought was a proper way to live.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Over the course of, I don't know, 17th, 18th century, philosophers became people in tall buildings writing obscure doctrines for other people in tall buildings who would read them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think we've gotten away from that view of doing philosophy, but I still think that the ancient way is probably better. So I am a philosophy professor, right? Mm-hmm. Am I a philosopher? That would be up to people looking at my behavior to decide.
Interesting. Ethics is certainly a focus of what happens in The Good Place. Does it touch on other aspects of philosophy, epistemology or metaphysics or aesthetics or logic?
Well, it does a bit of metaphysics. So, for instance, it comes up in the show when Chidi and Eleanor are discussing their love in previous incarnations, right? Eleanor said, hey, you loved me in a previous incarnation. Chidi responds, that's not me.
Right.
That was somebody else. So the question of who one is and where one begins and ends is a metaphysical question.
The right? concept of the self.
The concept of the self, what's often called personal identity, right?
Okay.
How do I know it's still me? What are the criteria that make it me from now to later, right?
Wow.
So one of the first people to think about personal identity was Locke, John Locke, the English philosopher.
From Lost.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yes, okay. It will turn out that he was a little lost. But what Locke said was a person was continuous as long as they could remember themselves, okay? That memory was the definition of what constituted continuous personal identity. Here's the problem that somebody brought up to Locke. If I'm 60, perhaps I can remember what I was like at 30. And if I'm 30, I can remember what I was like at 6. But this person at 60 may not remember what they were like at 6.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange contradiction.
Right.
So, and this is generally conceded to mean that Locke was lost in his thoughts. So there have been other theories developed about that. And one of the things that The Good Place does that's really interesting, right, is it by putting people in different incarnations, mm-hmm. right, it really raises the question of who's the same as what they were in previous incarnations.
You're a practitioner.
Yeah.
I think that you live by a set of rules.
I think we all do. Yeah, I guess that's true. I just remembered when I was listening to him that my favorite class that I took at Loyola Marymount University was philosophy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Like an intro, like a 101
Yeah,
kind of
it was
thing?
Like, well, sort of. It was a 101, but it was dealing with like substance dualism, which was really interesting to me. Or I guess the idea that your body and soul are two separate things.
Yeah.
It was specific to that subject. So the whole semester was about that.
I think that's what's so valuable about like leaving home and going away to school if you're able and if you're able to bribe your way into a school.
Mm-hmm. No bribes here.
me neither. But that, you know, that new environment and those new classes can, you know, change your perspective on things.
Yeah.
It can open your eyes. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so I guess, I don't know. I guess I live my life in practice of something.
You certainly do. You wrote a book about it.
I did. I did write a book about it.
Yeah.
I did write a book about it. And I think that, like, that thing, that Oprah quote that I love that meant so much to me when I was editing my book, which was that you're the most valuable thing you can do is share your story and tell your story. Because I was like, maybe I just scrap this and write a bunch of funny
shirt
that happened on sets. And I was like, oh, come on, Busy. Have some balls.
You can still do that. That's a different book.
Yeah,
right?
That's a different book.
Busy Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
What's good?
So many things are good right now. I mean, so many things are weird. Oh, yeah. Here's something that's good.
Please.
I haven't told anyone this. I didn't even take it to my Instagram stories.
Ooh.
Cricket, my five-year-old daughter, the other night when I was putting her to bed, she said, you know what's weird? And I was like, what's weird? And she's like, it's weird. And now listen, this is my impression of her. And I don't know if it's accurate, but this is how she sounds to me.
Okay.
Also, she has a bit of a speech impediment. I also had a lisp and a speech impediment. I couldn't say my ahs when I was little. R's.
Oh, R's.
I couldn't say my R's.
Okay.
And she can't really say her R's. So at some point, maybe we'll take care of it. Maybe not. I love it. So she's like, no, what's weird? What's weird, baby? Oh, it's weird that I didn't get a penis. And I was like, oh, is that weird? And she's like, oh, no, they look cool. They look like little hot dogs. And I was like, interesting.
Right. I have some questions.
As did I, Mark Evan Jackson.
Yeah.
So I said, how do you know that penises look like hot dogs? And she's like, well, there's a book in the library at school about bodies. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Well, first she was like, we were learning about it in science class. And I was like, that seems young. Yeah.
Kindergarten science.
So then I was like, I don't think you're learning about it in science class. Anyway, it turns out, I think she saw like this book in the library about like your body, my body, myself, or whatever, like a little rudimentary
book. She's in the wrong library.
What do you mean?
That's an older book, isn't it?
No, we got to learn about our bodies.
At five?
Sure.
I mean, I guess that's true.
She's got to know.
I'm bad at kids.
Well, you don't have them, so you don't know. But like, you know, you're Catholic, right?
Mm-mm.
No. What were you raised? Protestant?
Like independent Protestant.
You're waspy. What is
Very.
It?
Very.
Yeah, super waspy. Yeah. Oh, so that's what this is coming from. Don't bring your waspy
Asheville shirt
to my five-year-old Mark Evan Jackson. We have to talk about sex in our bodies and make it and normalize it. And you talk about it in a very nonchalant way. It's not a big deal. Yeah, everybody's bodies are different.
I feel like she can learn about that several years into marriage.
Mark. Mark, you're like literally looking at me right now with this like giggle, this evil little giggle. No. We're very like, it's like very important to me to be really like loose and because I grew up in a Catholic household where no one talked about anything.
Sure.
And it did not benefit me.
Yeah.
You know, I write about that in my book. You can read it, guys. That's not what this podcast is about. So anyway, what's good is that my daughter is five and she says funny things. And if she were your daughter, you wouldn't even be able to handle it, Mark.
I knew that going. Yeah. That's why I haven't had children.
And then what else is good? I work with some charities in Los Angeles that I love.
Oh.
Yeah. I work with a charity called Holly Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And Holly Grove provides mental health services to underserved kids in the Los Angeles community.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And the kids are referred either by CPS, like Child Protective Services, or by their school. And it's everything. It's an after-school program where they get counseling and they help with their homework and help figuring out how to process things at school. So they range from, you know, just minor like outbursts of anger or sometimes the children are on the spectrum and they haven't been diagnosed because their parents aren't able to take them anywhere or, you know, do anything. But anyway, it's a really wonderful organization.
Do you know how to find them? The thing I looked up said upliftfs.org.
Yeah. Upliftfs.org. Yeah. And that's sort of like Holly Grove. Well, it's really interesting, actually. Holly Grove was the first orphanage in Los Angeles.
Wow.
It's right in the middle of LA. It's right by the Paramount Studios in the middle of Hollywood. And yeah, so it was an orphanage for many, many, many years. In fact, a little girl by the name of Norma Jean was left there by her parents. Marilyn Monroe was
is that
left.
Right?
Yes, that's correct. That is true. A true story.
Wow.
Her parents were very poor and they left her there for a month or two when she was a little girl. She lived at Holly Grove. So anyway, that's why every year we do a fundraiser for them and it's called the Norma Jean Gallup. But then at some point, I think in the 80s or 90s, it ceased being like a working home where children were living. Mm-hmm. And they sort of transitioned into doing after-school care and these really great summer programs for kids. And now they do parent evenings where they do educational evenings for parents, a lot of whom, you know, need help with things like navigating ICE. ICE.
Oh, yeah. Immigration. And,
Yeah. Navigating immigration,
oh, wow.
Getting help with lawyers. But then also additionally, you know, if they have kids in the program, it's like, how do we help these parents help their kids too? So we give them, you know, they give them tools and it's really kind of an amazing thing.
And tell me about Baby to Baby.
Baby to Baby, I'm like one of the on the angels for Baby to Baby. I have been involved with them since their very first year. And Baby to Baby started as just like a group of moms in Hollywood who had babies and then had all this baby gear left over. And they're like, what do we do with all this stuff? We don't need it anymore. So Baby to Baby collects new and gently used baby items and worked partners with, I believe now, like over 75 different organizations, social work, everything from like women's shelters, social workers. And they come to Baby to Baby and they say, okay, we got a mom and her three kids in last night into the shelter, nothing but the clothes on their backs. What can we do? And Baby to Baby like steps in and really helps them out. But now in the last couple of years, what we've been doing and having to shift focus on is a little bit more disaster relief because, of all of the things that are happening in the world right now. So hurricanes and fires,
yeah,
and also the crisis at the border, all of these things Baby to Baby takes on. And we have a huge warehouse now filled with diapers and wipes and toiletries and essentials for not just babies, but also children and teens and now their parents. And we put together bundles and send it where it needs to go. And they have an amazing network. And I'm really proud to be a part of that organization.
One other thing that's good is Busy Tonight on the E! Network, Mondays through Thursdays at 11 p.m. You put some positivity in the world. You literally tell everyone in studio and watching at home in song at the end of every episode, mm-hmm, you tell them that you love them. I think that's pretty great.
I sing a goodnight lullaby and I look into the camera and I think about a different person every night. And
really?
I didn't know that. I love you. Mm-hmm.
That's really lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A person that I love. I mean, it's been the same person. You know, there have been people that have gotten repeats. but for me, like, it's that thing where, you know, I did it. I always was going to sing the goodnight song because when we thought about the show, I said at this point in my life, I want to put something really positive into the world. And so I want the show to have that feeling imbued in it. I want it to be a treat for people at the end of the night before they turn off their televisions, when they're winding down, to sit with me, maybe their friend in their mind, maybe in real life, I don't know.
Hmm.
And I'll just talk about some things that are happening in pop culture or the world, and we'll bring out a celebrity who's promoting something and we'll do some fun stuff. And then I'll sing a little song at the end, a la Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
And then when we were doing our test, we did three test shows. And the very first test show, after I sang the song, I looked into the camera and I said, "Good night, you guys. I love you."
Yeah.
And I just, like, it came from a very pure place of just, I love you for showing up for me.
Sure.
But I think, yeah, sometimes I do think about the audience at large. It depends. I think about different things every night. But
I
want it to feel very real.
As a viewer of your show.
It is very real.
Like you are speaking specifically to me.
Yeah.
Well, and I would guess I'm not alone out there.
Yeah. And that's been something that I was sort of, we didn't even know was going to happen. But we've had people that have come up to us, written in or reached out and said, I mean, I've had some pretty intense interactions with fans of the show who say things like, I can't tell you the last time someone like looked me in the eye and said, I love you. And when you did that at the end of the show and I felt that, I felt things change for me. And I was like, that's really cool and special. And I'm glad to put that into the world.
That's good.
It's
Busy Phillips, thank you for being with us. I love you.
I love you, Mark.
This has been The Good Place, the podcast. I'm Mark Evan Jackson. And thank you at home for listening. I've missed you, and it's good to be back. Now, go do something good.
Thank you for listening to What's Good with Mark Evan Jackson on The Good Place, the podcast. It was a delight having you. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Hosted by Mark Evan Jackson. Produced by Grant Rutter. Written by Lizzie Pace. Edited by Trey Booty. Those are four of my best friends. And yours. Bye.